So Juliet wants to prove that you don't need to work long hours to be a hard worker. But why is that so difficult for us to believe?
We tend to see this automatic connection between effort and moral value.
Azeem Sharif is a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia.
And what I've been studying is the moral worth that people attach to work.
In other words, why do we see people who work hard at anything as better people?
When we look at the work that people do, we're making a whole lot of assumptions about their character, about their moral character. People who work hard are seen as virtuous.
To test how we judge people, Azeem did a study where he asked participants about two hypothetical guys.
So first you have Justin. Justin works in a factory making widgets. Justin is able to produce approximately 6 widgets per hour. For Justin, making widgets requires minimal effort. While he works as quickly as possible, it is easy work.
And then there's Mark, who also makes 6 widgets per hour.
He also works as quickly as possible, but for him, it's hard. It's hard. It's very effortful work.
Azeem and his team asked participants, what do you think of Justin versus Mark's approach?
We asked people to rate the person on a number of synonyms to morality. So moral, responsible, principled, honest, these types of words. What we found is that people tend to think the guy who easily breezes through making these widgets is a more competent person. But they think that Mark, the guy who put in more effort, who found it hard to do, is the more moral person, the more trustworthy person.
And do they tell you why they think that?
The idea is that what being a hard worker conveys is that that person would be a dependable partner if you were to cooperate with them. Or if you were to have them as your friend, you know that that person is willing to put in effort in some domains, and so they're likely to be putting effort into other domains, including the domains that'll help you out.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get that. When you see someone who has to try harder and they do it, you think like, all right, they can put their back into it. I bet if I ask them to help me move next weekend, they know what it's like to work hard. Is that basically what it is?
That's basically what it is.
Azeem Sharif continues from the TED stage.
People see that harder working widget maker as more moral. And if you had to choose just one of those two as a cooperation partner, you would choose the one who struggles. We call this effort moralization. And it doesn't appear to just be a North American thing. Work norms, of course, differ around the world, but we replicated our original American result in South Korea, which is known by the numbers to be one of the hardest working countries in the OECD, and in France, which is known for other strengths. In all of these places, the harder working person was seen as more moral and a better cooperation partner, even though they added no extra value.
The theory that underpins all this is a theory called partner choice. Mm. So the idea of partner choice is that just as we are all searching for a romantic partner and we're competing to be the best romantic partner we can be so that we get chosen, we also are in a market for friends and for coworkers. And we're trying to find the friends and coworkers who are going to be the most dependable people, like we talked about, the people who are going to help you move your couch. Mm. We are constantly evaluating people to figure out what that they're doing is signaling to me that they're a cooperative, a trustworthy partner. And we're trying to show that we are that person as well.
In a minute, the roots of our need to figure out who is a hard worker or not. And what can go wrong when we pass moral judgment on someone's work ethic? On the show today, Monday through Friday, I'm Anoush Zamarodi, and you're listening to the TED Radio Hour from NPR. We'll be right back. It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Anoush Zamarodi. And on the show today, Monday through Friday, ideas about rethinking what so many of us do 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, at least, we work.
It's a big part of our lives, so everybody feels some sort of love and hate towards their work.
We were just talking to psychologist Azeem Sharif, who studies how people attach moral value to work.
I think this is pretty deep, right? Not necessarily some sort of evolved circuit in our brain, but maybe a very likely to develop cultural process. Mm. And some of the evidence that supports that, there's this really great work by Christopher Smith and Corin Apicella, where they did work with hunter-gatherers themselves. So existing hunter-gatherers, the Hadza people in Tanzania. And what they did is they took 92 members of a particular Hadza camp, and they had them rate all the other members. So in Hadza terminology there, the closest thing they had to being a good person, a moral person, was this idea of having good heart. And they didn't agree on very much about what made somebody have good heart, but they did agree on two things. One is generosity, and the other is hard work. The people who are the hardest workers were seen as most likely to have good heart.
And my response to that is like, that's great. We appreciate people who have a good heart, who are willing to work hard, humans for the win. But I guess that things get more complicated in the modern workplace. So let's talk about when our moral judgment of someone who works hard can cause problems. Like when you see that colleague who stays late because he wants to impress people.
Yes, our work culture has within it this veneration of just putting in effort. Mm. And then you get into this arms race of competitive effort signaling. And so the guy who's staying late at work, somebody else is going to stay late at work. Somebody else is going to be the first car in the office, so that the employers are going to say, man, Johnny over there on the third floor, he's always in the office late, always working through those papers. You know, he's drenched in sweat by the end of the day. Good man, hard worker. And so you keep those people around, you pay a lot of people for the effort that they're putting in, not for what they're producing. And so all the kind of zombie effort that sticks around in an economic system simply because of effort moralization, that makes everything more expensive. It ends up being a tax that we all pay.
Here's Azeem Sharif again on the TED stage.
Our intuition that effort is good for its own sake, regardless of what it produces, has created a work environment with perverse incentives. And how much of the effort we spend now is just wearing workaholism as a badge of honor, a way to reassure people that we are a good person, even if the person that you're just trying to reassure is yourself? A capitalistic system should root out those inefficiencies, but it doesn't. And the reason it doesn't is because alongside capitalism, we also operate under another system, what the journalist Derek Thompson calls workism. Workism is about your job not just being the source of your paycheck, but the source of your identity and your pathway to self-actualization. Now that works for some people, but what makes workism a culture is that we all get forced to participate. The culture punishes us for not keeping up. And so we end up putting more and more in, regardless of what comes out the other side. And the culture maintains the most laborious aspects of our jobs because it most appreciates us when it sees us putting in that labor. And as a consequence, every other aspect of our job and our lives, however great, is made just a little less important.
Azeem, I want to make a distinction here or ask you, what is the distinction? When we say work ethic, are we talking about moralizing effort that we put into our jobs or things outside of our jobs too?
Yeah, so it's not just in the realm of employment and work that virtue is signaled, nor that effort-related virtue is signaled. So one of the studies that we have looks at running. So this was actually inspired by a collaborator of mine on this project, a good friend of mine, Paul Piff. He's a social psychologist, very well put together, and he's a very confident, extroverted guy, and he goes running every morning. And sometimes you find those people kind of annoying.
Totally.
The people, the Mr. Perfect people, I think we roll our eyes at them. They're just confidently striding through life. And then one day I saw him on one of his morning runs. And he didn't look like this confident type A personality. He had this terrible look on his face. He was really struggling through his run. And that made me have more respect for him because he's somebody who didn't find that easy, right? Mm. And so we had a study where I think it was also Justin and Mark, and one of them ran the same distance, but did it easily. And one of them ran the same distance every morning, but really struggled. And again, you see that the person that is putting more effort into the run, that's the person you see as more virtuous. And in fact, in this case, we gave people a task to emulate this partner choice idea and asked people, well, okay, if you were to play a trust game with this person, who would you choose? 8 out of 10 times, they'll choose the person who finds it hard.
You're making me have some compassion for the person who things do come easily to, because maybe that's not their fault that they find things easier, but people won't trust them as much or want to work with them just because they don't look like they're trying hard enough.
Yeah. Yeah. Poor Mr. Perfect people.
Well, I have to say, I am the daughter of immigrants, so I've totally drunk the Protestant work ethic Kool-Aid. But it does feel like there are some people moving in an opposite direction about appreciating all that life has to offer outside of work. I mean, there are all kinds of memes, right? There's quiet quitting.
Lazy girl job is something that you can basically quiet quit.
Then there's lazy girl jobs.
Because you have kind of this easy job that's extremely flexible and there's no like start or end time every day.
This is when a young woman has a chill job. She gets paid a good salary, but she only does what's required of her, and that is it.
We're being lazy. It's an anti-hustle dig.
Because the rest of her life is important to her. And, mm-hmm. I mean, she uses the term lazy, but I think you might say that this is what we should all be doing. We should do our jobs and live our lives, and it's that balance that's so important.
I don't want to convey that I'm anti-hard work by any means. I think that so much of what we enjoy and benefit from in civilization is the product of extremely hard work. Mm. And so I don't want to dissuade that or belittle it by any means. And maybe that's where we end up, right? You have this backlash moral norm and you have the original hard work moral norm, and we come to some sort of balance. So I'm, as I mentioned, a psychology professor, and on Twitter, a lot of younger people in particular, so younger professors, graduate students, they would not just be talking about their work-life balance, how important it was, work-life balance. Oh, I don't work on the weekends. They would be making seemingly moral claims about this. Mm. They would be showing their virtue by showing how well-balanced their lives are, which I found really interesting. Mm. If you say, you know what, this is wrong. I'm going to not work weekends. I'm going to not work evenings. But everybody else still does that. Then you're going to be at a severe disadvantage for having done that. And so you want to try to get everybody to disarm altogether. And one way of doing that is to create a new moral norm.
In one of his more candid moments, one of my graduate students said that he noticed I would send emails out at all hours of the day, 1 a.m., 2 a.m., 3 a.m. Now, this was because being a professor allowed me to maintain an adolescent sleep schedule deep into my 30s. But what he then did was he got some app which scheduled his replies to come to me at 1 or 2 in the morning so as to make it seem like he was also working all hours of the day. I clearly sent the wrong message, so much so that my student was willing to delay the work to make it seem like he was more industrious. I had to change my lab's culture. I had to convince my students that we weren't just about the show of work, but what we were actually producing. And it's not such a simple thing to do. The mental circuit that connects effort to morality can be a stubborn one. When I teach about psychological biases to my intro psych students, I tell them that you can't always learn to resist a bias. They can be very deeply ingrained. But you can learn to notice them so that you can account for them when making important decisions. We may not be able to break that mental circuit, but we can learn to recognize our biases so they don't run our lives.
Okay, so we know we can't let our biases run our lives, but with all the uncertainty about what work will be in the future, it sounds like we need to be even more aware, actually, of these biases.
Yeah, we seem to be on the precipice of a big change. There's a lot of churn that happens, and a lot of people don't have stable work lives, and that leaves them out economically, and it could also leave them out in terms of a sense of meaning.
Yeah.
especially if we're in a culture which really attaches meaning and value and moral worth to the work that people do. So these psychological biases, I think they make sense at the individual level, but when you build an entire economic system on top of them, they lead to these, it's almost an understatement to call them inefficiencies, because the cost is so much more than that. The cost is to health and happiness. But knowing that we do this sort of knee-jerk, automatic moralization of effort, maybe you can not jump to those judgments so completely and confront those situations in which you are unnecessarily moralizing other people's effort or your own.
That's Azeem Sharif. He's a psychology professor at the University of British Columbia. You can see his full talk at TED.com. And you also heard the voice of social media influencer Gabrielle Judge.